Programming for The Reba Show is proudly underwritten in part by the Arlington Tomorrow Foundation, contributing to a thriving Arlington, and in part by the Texas Association of Realtors Housing Opportunity Foundation. Funding is also provided by generous donations from listeners like you.
You're listening to The Reba Show, Homeownership Hear It from the Experts, live from the Fishbowl Radio Network at Globe Life Park, Arlington, Texas, the American Dream City. My name is Leticia Gallegos. I'm president and CEO of the Hispanic Real Estate Brokers Association. And today, my guests are here from the city of Fort Worth with the Department of Diversity and Inclusion. So we're so happy to have them here. Let me introduce them. Christina Brooks is the director of the Department of Diversity and Inclusion, and Angela Rush, the assistant director of the Department of Diversity and Inclusion. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you. Thank you. It's great to be here.
Thank you.
All right. So Christina, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I am not new to Texas, but I am certainly new to North Texas region. I was actually raised in San Antonio and went away to college and for a number of years, and last November accepted a position here in the city of Fort Worth to be the city's first diversity and inclusion director and chief equity officer. And I am just thrilled to be back home in Texas. And I'm coming from a little town, well, a mid-sized town in northern Indiana, South Bend, Indiana, and where I was the diversity and inclusion officer for the Mayor Pete Buttigieg administration in South Bend. And so I was there for a little over almost 4 years before I was recruited to come back to Texas. So my responsibilities there are really similar to what I do here in Fort Worth. In South Bend, I had the responsibility of workplace, workforce, community, and diversity purchasing and contracting and local, small, minority, women, Section 3 and Hub Zone business development. So pretty similar role.
Awesome. That's great. So you knew how to pronounce Buttigieg before anybody else did, right, here in Texas?
I did.
Okay. And Angela, tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm pretty much a native Fort Worthian. Grew up, went to high school there. Started out working at the city, actually doing neighborhood capacity building, and then quickly progressed into civil rights enforcement. And I've been doing civil rights enforcement for the city of Fort Worth now for about 12 to 14 years.
12 to 14 years.
Yes.
All right. So the department as a whole, the Department of Diversity and Inclusion. So there's the department's been around for quite a while, hasn't it?
Well, the department is new.
Okay.
It was actually built on the foundation of the Human Relations Unit, which used to be a part of the city manager's office. And Angie was leading that unit for a number of years. And our department was really the culmination of or one of the recommendations from the Race and Culture Task Force. Some of you may recall that a couple of years ago, there were a couple of tragic events that led to the seating of the Race and Culture Task Force, which really started to look at ways that we could make sustainable changes in Fort Worth. And so over a period of about 18 months, they came up with 22 recommendations across criminal justice, areas of criminal justice, education, economic development, governance, health, housing, and transportation. And our department was one of the recommendations in the governance area of focus. And my position was also one of the recommendations. So we were built on top of the work that Angie and her team had done, and expanded the mission to include not only continuing to do the work of civil rights enforcement of the non-discrimination ordinance in Fort Worth, but also added two new divisions. The Municipal Equity Division, which handles all of our education, research, and policy issues, and then also our Business Equity Division, which oversees another ordinance in Fort Worth, the Minority and Women Business Ordinance, that seeks to make sure that we're not only in compliance with laws pertaining to equity in contracting and procurement, but also building the capacity of minority and women businesses in Fort Worth's geographic marketplace.
Wow, that's a lot that you've got going on. And that is amazing that you were chosen to lead this department as a new department. So how does that correlate, what you do in your department, how does that correlate with
fair housing.
Excuse me, I had a little senior moment there. Yes, fair housing. So,
so I'm going to let Angie jump in here. This is mm-hmm. her expertise.
Sure. So the city of Fort Worth actually is certified by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development for more than 40 years as a enforcement agency. So if an individual feels like they're being discriminated against on a protected basis in housing, they can actually bring that complaint to our office, and we will investigate that complaint, and we will make a determination whether there is cause to believe that discrimination occurred or if there's no cause to believe that discrimination occurred. And we also do that in the areas of employment and public accommodations as well.
All right, so that part of the department has existed for how long?
That piece, more than 40 years.
More than 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so that's a huge accomplishment. So you two ladies work together to make it possible for, or a resource, right, for
Absolutely.
Citizens of Fort Worth to be able to get some kind of justice to whatever they feel that they may have been discriminated against. So how has the department changed in the last 2 years?
That's huge.
That's a huge.
Yeah, that's besides the expansion of mm-hmm. our mission and adding the two divisions, municipal equity and business equity and additional staff. There are just a lot of moving pieces. We're really building this department as we're flying it, and we're doing so really in kind of a swirl of activity that's happening nationwide, and Fort Worth's experience with traumatic events and you know, the expectations of people in the community that have been seeking justice in the areas that we kind of have influence over in our department has really just kind of, we had to hit the ground running. And so it was already a fast-paced environment with the work that Angie's division was doing, but we, you know, with the addition of the two new divisions, it's just really been kind of, some days are a blur because Angie and I were just talking about this before we went on air, but it's you know, there's never a dull moment.
No.
And we're constantly trying to make sure that we stay connected to the community and making sure that we're keeping up with their needs as they change. Mm-hmm. And making sure that the services and the resources we provide are relevant in the times that we live in. Mm-hmm. And as we know, you know, the events of the past week, that can change overnight. So we are, luckily, we're all very We're all workaholics. I think in our office. And
that helps.
Yes. It helps.
Our spouses may not care for that, but
they're used to it. Our husbands are used to it, I think.
They are.
But we do this because it touches each of us in a very personal way. Like, these aren't things that we've read about in books or, you know, mm-hmm. we've watched a documentary on TV. These are all things that, in most cases, have hit very close to home. Mm-hmm. And so I think we work, and the work that we produce is really built on that passion. And knowing that, you know, for decades, people mm-hmm. in our community have been seeking justice, and you know, now that we have an established department, there are a lot of expectations, and we want to make sure that we're delivering.
I think the biggest change too that I've seen is that we're not only focusing on the external piece of what we do, but we're also focusing on the internal city delivery of services. We want to make sure that as we move forward, that we make those services are delivered in an equitable manner. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of internal work that we're doing, yes. as well as that external work.
Yeah. The part of the main responsibilities of our equity, municipal equity division, is to roll out a brand new equity plan, which will give us an opportunity to review municipal service delivery by department, mm-hmm. and gather quantitative data, you know, all the numbers and all the spreadsheets that we can gather to kind of look at trends and things like that. But just as important, if not more, is really getting the qualitative feedback from the people that are impacted by the services that we deliver, and making sure our perspective of how we deliver services is the same as what people that are actually receiving those services feel. Mm-hmm. And so putting all of that information together to help us make better decisions on how we will invest taxpayer dollars going forward, especially now in constrained budgets with COVID-19. What we're doing is going to be extremely valuable, yes. To decision makers and elected mm-hmm. officials down the road.
That sounds great. All right, so we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back from break, I want you to tell me what a day in your office looks like.
Oh, no.
Because you've given our listeners a lot of information about the department as a whole, and you even mentioned that sometimes it hits close to home. We want our listeners to know what resource they have in your department mm-hmm. and what a day looks like. Tell me some stories. That's what we're going to listen to when we come back from break. So we'll take a short break, and we'll catch you on the other side of the break.
I ain't trying to think about all my problems. I'm living now. I'm living now. Can't sit and worry about the future. I'm living now. Said I'm living now. So put your hands up if you feel like having a good time. Put your hands up if you got no cares at all. Raise your cups if you got no work tomorrow. Put your hands up if you're ready to have some fun. Come on, sing it. Every day like it's Christmas, I'm gonna celebrate this life I'm giving. From now on, from now gonna tell my mother every day I love her, and tell her thanks for being such a good mother. From now on, come on. So put your hands up if you feel like having a good time. It feels good, don't it? Living your life in this quick moment, and you never ever think it's gonna go away. But I swear, I know you'll wake up one day and say, yeah, I got things to do. Yeah, I got mountains to move. And if anybody's had to be, it's about how good it should be. Come on, say. Feels good, don't it? Feels good, don't it? You only got one life, live in the moment. Feels good, don't it? Feels good, don't it? You only got one life, live in the moment. Feels good, don't it? Feels good, don't it? You only got one life, live in the moment. Feels good, don't it? Feels good, don't it? You only got one life.
Come on, sing it.
Oh, 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 it feels so good to be alive.
I wanna feel good. Come on.
Oh, it feels.
Programming for The Reba Show is proudly underwritten in part by the Arlington Tomorrow Foundation, contributing to a thriving Arlington, and in part by the Texas Association of Realtors Housing Opportunity Foundation. Funding is also provided by generous donations from listeners like you.
Services, you know, it rises a little higher than just a landlord issue. If they are treating you differently because of a protected basis, which can be race, color, sex, national origin, disability, and more, we encourage people to give us a call. We have a central number. It's 817-392-7525. Or they can go to our website, which is, unfortunately, Fort Worth has a long email. It's fortworthtexas.gov/diversity-inclusion. And you can submit an inquiry that way also. But when they contact us, an individual will talk with you and basically counsel you, you know, to determine if the issue is a discriminatory basis. Mm-hmm. It could be a renter's rights, and we'll provide that information as well. We provide referrals in addition to just also doing the investigation. If it rises to a level of an investigation, we will sit down with you and we will go, you will take your statement, we'll get that information that you provide us, and we will look at all those facts, and then we will notify all the parties of that complaint. And then the investigation begins. That's when it begins in earnest. We will go and we get documents from the housing provider that we may need to look at. We conduct on-site visits. Depending on what the complaint is, it could be it has to do with design and construction. You'll find us out there measuring sidewalks. If it's something internal, you'll see us inside that person's apartment. You know, they could be complaining about smoke or what have you, and we're in there looking and smelling to see if there's the evidence of that. Mm-hmm. And once we're done with an investigation, and we believe that, we feel strongly that there is cause to believe that a discriminatory act occurred, or we believe that, no, there's not enough evidence to support that, we issue a determination. Most people are very interested in those that reach to the level of the cause. And those are the questions I typically get asked, you know, what type of cases do you see? It really runs the gamut. We recently, in fact, last night, issued 4 charges, and the allegations range from discrimination based on disability to discrimination based on gender, and also discrimination based on race. So they really range. We receive more complaints filed under the basis of disability in housing than any other, and then race is a close second. Under disability, you'll see cases that are similar to, say, I'm mobility impaired and I need a reserved parking spot near my apartment. We often hear a lot of housing providers, especially if they're newer, don't realize that. They'll say, well, we have, you know, handicapped parking space, park in one of them. Well, you know very well that usually they're occupied. And this person lives there, and it's a real burden to them. So they can request a designated parking spot. We will work with them and work with them on requesting that reasonable accommodation. And we will also basically educate the housing provider on what, you know, what they need to do when asked for a reasonable accommodation. We've had cases on domestic violence, and we've even had interesting ones where the victim was not female, the victim was male. We've had familial status. We had a very interesting familial status discrimination complaint that we found reason to believe that discrimination occurred that had to do with national origin and familial status. There was a particular apartment complex that was preying on those that were from Mexico and Central America, and basically telling them, you know, we're not going to do repairs. You have to live with these substandard conditions, mm-hmm. to the point of they didn't even have a lock on their front door, and they were told to use a padlock to get in and out of their units. We stepped in, and we were actually able to effect a conciliation agreement where we required them to make all those repairs. There was a monetary, award given to the complainant, and we also made them go through training, fair housing training. We told them that code was going to come out there and review their property until we were satisfied that they had made those repairs. So we can help people stay in their home. We can also help them. Sometimes they just simply need to be let out of a lease. They are in a second floor apartment. They have recently become disabled. There are no single, you know, bottom floor apartments, and they can't get into their apartment. And so we get them out of their lease without penalties so that they can find housing that meets their needs, that where they have access to it. I think everyone in our group that does these investigations do it because they really care about the people that they're serving. And really, I sort of laugh. We have that investigator hat, but we also have that social work hat. Because mm-hmm. even if we can't help you on the discrimination side, we try mm-hmm. to provide you those resources in other ways. And so they are very, you know, staff is very committed to the work that they do. And in fact, I laughed when Christina came on. I said, we have very, very low turnover. People don't leave until they retire because this is a passion. You have to have a passion for this work.
Absolutely. You do. You have to care.
Yes.
You have to care. Yes. So you said that last night you received the authorization to go to litigation on some cases.
Yes.
How long were they in the process before you got that approval?
Well, longer than I had hoped. So it didn't help that we had COVID-19 that sort of delayed our processes in the middle of it as well, and that we were also forming a new department in the middle of it. But this, most of them were actually filed in 2019. We try to complete all our investigations within 100 days, but sometimes they can be a little complex, or we may have to issue a subpoena to get the information we need. And so they may go over 100 days. In these particular cases, as I said, they were all filed in 2019. They probably took probably 4 months for the investigation on all of them because they were all fairly complex. Mm-hmm. And then we hit the holidays, so that slowed the process down. So yeah. We hope moving forward we won't have any more of these things that throw us off track as much as COVID-19 did. But last night, yes, we issued charges and 4 complaints that will be going to district court. And I think one point that I want to make sure people understand is when you call us and file a complaint, it's free. There's no charge for that. Our mm-hmm. services are completely free. And in this particular instance, when we issue a charge, our city attorney's office will actually be involved in taking those complaints to district court. And there is no cost to that complainant.
So no legal fees either.
On their side.
On their side. On their side. Yeah. Okay. That's very, very interesting. So let me invite you, listeners, if you want to join our conversation, if you have a question when it comes to the City of Fort Worth Fair Housing, and especially this Department of Diversity and Inclusion, call us. The number is 214-431-5032. Again, the number is 214-431-5032 if you'd like to join the conversation and ask your question. I'm sure the ladies here will have an answer for you.
And if we don't, we'll get it for you.
that's right. So let's repeat your phone number again at your department.
It's 817-392-7525.
Mm-hmm. And the website?
It is FortWorthTexas.gov, mm-hmm. then it's /diversity-inclusion.
All right. And that's where they can go directly to get more information.
Yes, they on each area that we enforce, and also they can submit a complaint online where we'll follow up and contact them.
Okay. So how you said you added staff earlier. So the department is, sometimes a few people can do a lot of work, but when you have more help, then you can do more work. So approximately how many people in your department?
I'll let you answer that.
So we actually brought over, they were an existing department as well,
okay.
And they were housed in economic development, and they were formerly the Office of Business Diversity. So 6 staff members handled the compliance, contract compliance for the city. Mm-hmm. And so they recently became part of our department, and they are now the business equity division. They do a little more they do a lot more than what they had done originally. Which was help departments identify what goals were going to be set on contracts on a project-by-project basis. And so now their role has expanded to not only continue to help identify availability of minority and women businesses in our geographic marketplace, and then calculate a goal. They'll be working directly with project managers internally and city buyers in the planning stages of contract development, especially on capital projects. So we know almost a full fiscal year in advance how we're going to spend money on major projects in the city. And so the business equity staff will be working internally to make sure that we're looking at those potential contracts and identifying ways that we can reduce barriers for minority and women participation in those contract dollars, mm-hmm. Making sure that we're in compliance with state law and regulations, looking at bid language, developing a comprehensive outreach plan before it goes to advertisement. And then just making sure that we're providing the resources in the contract execution phase so that those contractors that do win the award, bid award, are successful. And not just meeting the contract goals, but also just successful in making sure that they can meet the financial obligations, and we meet time deadlines so that they can have a good evaluation at the contract closeout. So we want to make sure that we certainly support minority and small businesses throughout the process, but we also want to make sure that we're keeping an eye on the impact to the city itself and cost and time. And and so we believe that we can do all of those things simultaneously and still develop minority and small businesses here in this area.
Yeah, you want a good, successful execution.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's good. So when you talk about women-owned and minority businesses, when you put out, what do you call it, an RF?
There's RFP
RFQ.
RFQ. A lot of acronyms.
Right.
Request for quote, request for proposal. Invitation to bid, lots of different ways that you can slice it up.
Right. So when you do that, do you go citywide, county, state? What's your boundary when you ask for?
There's really no boundary. It's just a matter of reach. And we certainly look for, typically it's going to be people or contractors that are here within our region. Mm-hmm. So our geographic marketplace under the current ordinance includes Tarrant County, Dallas County, Denton, Parker, Wise, and Johnson. But, you know, in some cases, you know, we get contractors from all over the country, depending on what type of work is requested or construction is requested in an RFP or an RFQ or an ITB. So we're not limited. We certainly want to encourage business growth in our region, but they can come from anywhere. And compete.
All right, that's good. So, I mean, that's amazing that you give that much time and effort, before you begin the process of requesting, like you say, to make sure that it meets the expectation.
These are new processes that we're in the process of implementing. So the city just completed a disparity study for minority and women businesses. Mm-hmm. We worked with Colette Holton Associates as our consultant for the study. So we're just getting that final report and their recommendations that our consultant made, and we're not trying to let any grass grow under our feet with those recommendations. We want to move forward with them as quickly as possible.
That's amazing. Well, we're going to take another break. And when we come back from break, we can talk more about that, how COVID has affected the budgets that you're working with, maybe, and more information about that. So we're going to take a quick break. If you want to join our conversation and ask a question, whether it's about fair housing or opportunities for women-owned or minority businesses, please give us a call. The number is 214-431-5032. We'll be back in just a moment.
I got this feeling inside my bones. It goes electric, wavy when I turn it on. Off from my city, off from my home. We're flying up, no ceiling when we in our zone. I got that sunshine in my pocket, got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Ooh, I can't take my eyes off of it, moving so phenomenally. Come on, rock the way we rock it, so don't stop.
discussion on. I don't need no reason, don't be control. I fly so high, no ceiling when I'm in my zone. Cause I got that sunshine in my pocket, got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Ooh, I can't take my eyes off of it, moving so phenomenally. You're more like the way we rock it, so don't stop.
Programming for The Reba Show is proudly underwritten in part by the Arlington Tomorrow Foundation, contributing to a thriving Arlington, and in part by the Texas Association of Realtors Housing Opportunity Foundation. Funding is also provided by generous donations from listeners like you.
Hello, you're listening to The Reba Show, Homeownership. Hear it from the experts, live from the Fishbowl Radio Network at Globe Life Park, Arlington, Texas. My name's Leticia Gallegos. I'm president and CEO of the Hispanic Real Estate Brokers Association. And normally we talk about homeownership on this show, but there's so many resources out there for individuals that are still renting, that are preparing to purchase in the future, but they're still renting, they're still leasing either an apartment or a house. And the information today that's been brought to us by Christina Brooks, who is the Director of Diversity and Inclusion for the City of Fort Worth, and Angela Rush, Assistant Director of that department. And we've heard so many things. If you're just tuning in, you really missed out. You want to listen to our podcast and get all the information. But we've talked a lot about what the department does. And Angela, I want to follow up with, we talked a little bit about the fair housing, but there's also disability. Let's talk about the American Disabilities Act, the ADA. And you have a special coordinator at the department that dedicates to this?
Yes. So every city is required to have an ADA coordinator. And so that coordinator for the City of Fort Worth is in our department. And what that means for customers is that if you've got a problem with the sidewalk from, you know, you say you are in a wheelchair and there is a huge crack and you cannot use that sidewalk, you can contact the ADA coordinator and he will actually go out there and look at the sidewalk or look at the curb cut or whatever the issue may be, and he will get back with the appropriate department to try to mitigate whatever that issue is. He also is the person that you would contact if you ever had trouble accessing a library in the city or any other city building. He will work with those departments to ensure that if you need a an accommodation. He will work with those departments to get that accommodation. It could even be a meeting of the City of Fort Worth. If you want to attend a meeting and you need a sign language interpreter, we will get that sign language interpreter for you. So that is his job, is really to make sure that we help those with individuals with disabilities access our services. And it may be, like I said, it may be that he's out looking at a sidewalk, or he may be finding referral sources for you. That person is very dedicated to that. And so he is there at that same number we gave for housing, that 817-392-7525 number, mm-hmm. is the same number you can call to get a question answered about ADA as well.
And all again, right. Those services are free.
Absolutely.
This is amazing, because you've mentioned that the services are free, and being considered with a complaint is free of charge, and the taking on that case, if it's a legitimate complaint, is also at no charge to the complainant. So that is really good information, listeners. If you have any questions or would like to join the conversation, give us a call, 214-431-5032. So before the break, Christina, we were talking about requests that the city has for to bid on projects and things like that, and you're very involved with that. Has COVID-19 affected your budget in any way because of the shutdown and everything that's happened?
Yeah, I don't think that there is a municipality in the country right now that isn't having discussions about financial repercussions of COVID-19. It's just one of the many impacts of this coronavirus. When you have to shut down a city and shelter in place, revenue, tax revenue is impacted. And so we really have to be smart about the funds that we do have available to us, and make sure that essential services are still being provided to our city residents. And also, ultimately make some tough decisions. And prioritize what the city residents will need going forward, not just to support them as they would have if COVID-19 hadn't hit, but also what are some of those things that, based on the CARES Act funding, how can we make sure that we're using the funds that we received from the CARES Act. And I think as a city, Fort Worth received about $158 million. So trying to make sure that we're making the best use of that is vitally important to us, because we want to make sure that we're meeting the needs of the residents. And so I strongly recommend that if you have additional conversations with City of Fort Worth departments, that you definitely put neighborhood services on your list. They have, they actually lead our rental assistance program, and they also have funds available right now for individuals that live in Fort Worth that may be struggling to pay their rent or due to COVID-19. And so there are a lot of resources that are out there right now based on the CARES Act funding. But, once that money is gone, we still have to make sure that the taxpayer dollars are being used in a fiscally responsible way.
And to piggyback on the CARES funding, we actually received notice last week that we got a small grant from HUD to do some outreach particular to fair housing and COVID-19. And so we will be working on that to carry out some of those activities. We're going to do outreach to faith-based organizations, mm-hmm. so they can reach out to their membership, mm-hmm. and let them know, what are your rights, when you are behind on your rent, mm-hmm. and you're facing eviction, you know, what can you do? What resources are available to you? Also, you know, the recommendation by many of the real estate associations is that they ask the housing providers to work with those tenants and come up with payment plans. So working with, you know, those individuals, at telling them, you know, go contact your housing provider, see if they'll work out that payment plan. You know, we are really wanting to make sure that the impact on individuals as it relates to their housing isn't, you know, it doesn't result in them being losing their housing and being homeless. And that's mm-hmm. a huge importance to us. And so we will start carrying out those activities in the next week as we get through that. By Thursday, we will vote on a MNC mm-hmm. to accept that funding, and we will move forward with that.
Yeah, and we have, as far as small businesses are concerned, we have a partnership with the United Way with Preserve the Fort funds. So we have about $10 million available in grants, not loans, grants mm-hmm. to small businesses. Mm-hmm. The application is live right now. So if you go to the City of Fort Worth's website and /preserve/the-fort, you'll see a link to the application for small business grants that are available. Anything from, you know, keeping your payroll to you know, purchasing equipment, everything. There's a list of everything that's eligible for those grant dollars.
And this is separate from the PPP.
It's
programs.
Separate. So yes. even if you have, you may have received funding through the PPP, you're still eligible for this grant. And we know there are a lot of local businesses. Mm-hmm. They're kind of our bread and butter mm-hmm. Here in North Texas, the mom and pop shops that, you know, really literally put food on the table for their own families. We want to make sure that they're taken care of. So those mm-hmm. grant dollars are available, and it doesn't matter if you received additional funds from other sources of PPP, you can still apply for this grant.
That's great information. That, you know, a lot of small businesses were left out. You know, they couldn't compete. You know, they got left out of that. So that's good to know. And that's go to the City of Fort Worth website and look.
Sole proprietors are a part of that. So even, you know, realtors, if you are your own business, you're eligible to apply as well.
Okay. And so what's normal now, right?
Our new normal.
We're redefining it every
day. I don't
day.
Want to call it a new normal. I don't want it to be the new normal. But anyway, so this show is about homeownership. And so part of our mission is to educate and inform our community about the process to homeownership. We've talked a lot in the last few weeks to our listeners that are renting, because it's really important during this time, as you were preparing for home ownership, all of a sudden COVID-19 happened, and now you could be struggling. And so there's a lot of resources, and you mentioned the resources to help with rent, and also eviction help, things like that. So all cities, I know that Arlington is also offering mm-hmm. that. So that was part of the incentives that were given out by HUD to help a lot of cities help their citizens, their residents. So that is great, great news. So because this show is a lot about home ownership, I want to ask you a personal question, because we have listeners that, you know, have been preparing for home ownership, and then this happened. And so tell me, Christina, what does home ownership mean to you personally?
Oh, gosh. So I am a married mother of five. And so I think of the difference home ownership can make in the lives of your children. The stability that it offers, the access to great educational systems, access to parks, safety. There are just so many things that can really change the trajectory of the next generation, all based on you, you know, sitting and signing some papers at a table with a realtor. It can really change the lives of families with home ownership. my husband and I are in the process of looking for a permanent home here in the area. We still own our house in Indiana, and you know, we've got five kids, and we are older. They range in age from 29 to 9. So our oldest daughter is a teacher in Chicago, and you know, we have conversations with her about how to prepare for home ownership, and she's been able to watch her father and I kind of, how many houses have we been through? Ooh, I've lost count. But she's seen us go through the, you know, home purchase process a number of times, which is really beneficial to her as a potential homeowner in the next year or so. So it's we can provide a resource for her and our other children as well. But that's really what sticks out in my mind when it comes to home ownership, just the how it can really change the trajectory of a family.
For generations.
For generations to come. For generations. Building familial wealth, which is one of the ways that, you know, here I'm going on my diversity and inclusion soapbox. it's really one of the ways that, you know, we can begin to close those racial wealth gaps is through home ownership. Mm-hmm. And understanding how to put yourself in a position where you can purchase a home and not be subject to predatory lending. So getting your credit together, your personal credit together, and paying bills on time, and you know, making sure that even if you do have credit cards, that you don't max them out. All of those kinds of things really matter when it comes to preparing for home ownership. And, you know, unfortunately, those aren't things that are necessarily talked about in all types of communities, you know, unfortunately in communities of color. But those are the things that really matter. Excellent. And so, you know, finding organizations and resources that can kind of give you all of that insider information about how to prepare for home ownerships so that you can change the trajectory of your family.
Absolutely. And that's what we do. We have we have volunteer financial coaches along with helping with the process. So we're almost out of time. Do we have a couple more minutes? I want Angela to answer the same question.
Well, you said a lot, Christina.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm just thinking you captured half. But one of the main things.
She feels the same.
Yeah. Well, one of the main things is my oldest son just recently married last year, and they just recently bought their home during the middle of this the COVID pandemic. And we had lots of discussions about, as they were looking for homes, what that home meant to them. Mm-hmm. And one of the discussions was is that our home is the heart of our family. And that is just as important as the building is the community you choose to live in. And so we had lots of discussions about that in addition to the financial ones. don't get in over your head, those type of conversations. But, you know, even my father and mother came from the same small little town in Nebraska. And even though most of, you know, family is gone from there, I still consider that sort of a home community. Mm-hmm. And how important is to have a home and to create those lives and that community, because it's communities that make great cities. They make great neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. And so we had lots of discussions about communities. And every time I've talked about, so now that my kids are scattering across the country, I've talked about moving, my kids are quickly to go, no, you can't sell our house. And because that is the heart to them. They want that central place. You know, be it,
especially when the grandkids come.
Yeah, they just want that central place that they can call home, and they know it's always there, and it's that haven of safety and protection and love. So,
and they know their bedroom is always there. So,
yeah, though I have redecorated it,
and that's what everyone wants. I know you listeners, that's what you want in your lives. And it's not an impossible thing. Mm-hmm. It just takes preparation and commitment, and it can happen. So, I want to thank you, ladies. Thank you for making time for us today. I really, really appreciate the great information that you brought to us. So before we sign off, again, my name's Leticia Gallegos, and with me was Christina Brooks, Director of Diversity and Inclusion for the City of Fort Worth, and Angela Rush, Assistant Director of Diversity and Inclusion for the City of Fort Worth. Thank you, ladies, so much.
Thank you
for having us.
Until next time, y'all, have a great afternoon.